Praise the Lord, live stream listeners and those in our presence. Welcome to Teach Us How to Pray. Give praises unto our Lord. For He is good. For He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. He's good. Thank you. And maybe you see that I said it last week. I come in night. I said, Lord, I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to get to church. That a few questions I do want to ask, especially live stream listeners, consider this as well. Have you gotten a clearer understanding on follow me as I follow Christ since I've been saying it? Has your understanding become greater since I've been saying that? Follow me as I follow Christ. Because I know that when I first said it, it was quite agitated. But I wonder, has it brought you understanding since I've been saying it? And do you see why Paul said it? Because that's what you need to understand. Why did he say that? And as a shepherd over God's sheep. So that's what you really want to understand. Amen. So those in our audience, give me some feedback. Let me hear what you're thinking concerning that question. Thank you so much. Come on, give me some feedback on that.
I understand it. When you first said it, I understood it because of the knowledge I had previous. But since you said it, I understand it more why it is paramount. That I follow you as you follow Christ. I'm understanding it is the God that's in you that I am to follow. I am not to try to discern what you are saying, whether I should follow you or not, whether it's true or whether it's not. But I understand follow you, meaning I cannot have any knowledge of my own. I have to empty out everything that I taught myself, that someone has taught me, that I have read. It's almost like I have to follow you in purity. I cannot judge what you are saying, because when I do that, I'm not following you. I'm discerning whether or not you are telling me it's true or not. And I can't do that with my own knowledge.
That was very good. And anyone else concerned that? That was very good, because you should, from the time we said it, you should have grown to the place where you understand very well what it means and how powerful it is to say that. I think James had the same idea when James said, "Be not many masters." Does that sound like somebody was teaching themselves?
Yes.
Be not many masters. A lot of people were teaching themselves. Or you shall receive the what? Greater condemnation. So I think that scripture is certainly tied in with that. As the shepherd of the house, the shepherd has to be the what? First partaker.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Really, listen to what you're telling me. Is that really true?
Yeah.
Now, let's deal with the word understanding through expression, not Webster, not dictionary. The shepherd must be the first
partaker.
I don't know. Did I quote that right? Is that right? Must be the first partaker. Because I got a question that I want to ask concerning that. I don't know how that reads. Must be the first partaker. That's what I'm trying to see, how that is understood. Okay? So, How does it? It's not.
This one's in Deuteronomy. I don't think you want the one in the New or the Old.
New Testament. You got a New Testament. Mm-hmm. Pull, yeah, a New Testament one.
Okay. It said the husband that labors must be the first partaker of the fruits.
Yeah, that would be it. The husband that what? Labors must be the first partaker. So Jesus labored and he was the first fruits of them that what? Rose from the dead. Right? He's the first fruits of them that rose from the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the husband must be the first partaker. Now, the shepherd and the head must be the first partaker. If you believe that the husband must be the first partaker because they're laboring in the vineyard, they should be because they are laboring. Now, the question is, make me understand, make me know that you understand that in relationship to what we've just been talking about here. Don't go outside of nothing we've been talking about in these last few minutes. How do you understand that the husband is the first partaker? The labor in the vineyard. Is that good? Who's understanding what I'm saying? Concerning the first partaker. Because we see Jesus. He's the first fruits of them that rose from the dead because he labored. He did and performed the work, so he was the first. Okay? Make sense? So you gotta see that. Let me hear you. Because if he's the first fruits, then no one else should try to reap the first fruits if they haven't what? Labor and not sitting in the seat of the husband. Does that make sense? So Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Is he the first partaker?
Yes.
No matter what he's going through, he's the first.
Yes.
And he's bringing the body into it. Is that right? He's bringing
right.
the...
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's a partaker. So he's bringing it into it. That's what you really got to understand. How he's bringing them into the grace that God is revealing in him. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's, to me, it's like I said earlier, if you're the first partaker, if you're going to partake of his death.
Right.
Right. So you're laboring to be the first partaker of his death. That means you are eating the first fruit.
Yes.
And so when you bring it to us, you bring it to us because you have already partook of the death.
Right.
So now you are showing us how to enter into his death, but you couldn't do that unless you were the first partaker of his death.
Exactly. Because I wouldn't have nothing to give you.
Right.
Oh God, I'm just understanding this. I'm just understanding this, live stream listeners. Listen closely. He takes two fish and five loaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
The parable. Jesus says, give ye them to eat. What did he say?
We have nothing but two fish and five loaves.
What is that to this?
Yes.
Because they have not partook of the bread. If they would have been partakers of the bread, they could have been able to do what?
Feed them.
Now you know why people cannot feed you, because they have not partook of the bread and received the bread. Now, it's written in the scriptures, ye being many are one body and one bread. Is that true? Yeah. Pull that for me. Ye be men are one body and one bread.
Where's it at? 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body.
Say that again. Read that again. Give them a reference point.
1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread.
Now, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them at the Last Supper. Said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, look at what he's doing to the bread now. Read it. Now he's telling them, read that.
1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body. For
now,
we
go ahead.
For we are all partakers of that one bread.
Now, listen at the parable, and let's go back to the parable again. Give ye them to eat. They said, we ain't got but two fish and five loaves. Said, what is this? He's telling them to do what? Feed them. And they acknowledge what?
They don't have what it takes to feed them.
How many times have we gone to church and have not been fed? It's because they did not have what it takes to feed you. The new covenant is all about feeding what?
The soul.
And the soul is fed how?
I want to say by the Spirit.
Exactly. Because we were made of what?
Quickening Spirit.
And who was first made of quickening Spirit?
Jesus.
So therefore we are partakers, and we're supposed to be what?
Quickening Spirit.
Now, how did the soul die?
Sin.
How?
They ate.
How? Wisdom. Give it to me. Who? Who?
Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from the serpent.
They just walked up and started eating? What happened?
Well, she was beguiled.
By herself?
No. The serpent beguiled her.
Come on.
The serpent beguiled her.
So she's talking to someone.
She talks to
the now, this define the serpent. What is he?
He's knowledge.
Hmm? What is the serpent? He's a being.
Yeah.
Oh, you never heard that? Because this is what I was trying to teach not too long ago. I tried to get this across. The serpent is actually a being. And he is able to give her wisdom. So the soul can always hear a spirit being. So God put his breath. God is spirit. So God ministered to that soul. How?
With his breath.
And his voice. Mm-hmm. And his voice was always spirit. It never had to be discerned.
No.
God. Do you know the Holy Ghost don't have to be discerned? All you have to do is what?
Hear.
Oh, have we messed up? Have we just messed up so much in our lives because we question whatever the Holy Ghost says to us? We always question it. And we think it's okay, but we are trying to get the flesh to understand the spirit. But what the flesh is subtly doing to you is making you war against the spirit. Now that was perfect. That was perfect. Live stream listeners, that was perfect. You ain't gonna get it no better than that. So there's a spirit that wars against us. It makes you say, I can't get it.
Yeah.
That ain't God. When you got the Holy Ghost, you ain't trying to get it, you got it. Now I got to move me out of the way. They want to handle God, control God, put him in my box.
Yeah.
And if I put him in my box, I'm going to have a miracle bigger than my box. And guess what? I'm not going to get my miracle. And who am I going to blame? God, you shouldn't have put him in your box. You should have left him spirit. And you should have spoke by the spirit and not try to control him. That's why the Holy Ghost... Oh, I'm hearing. The Holy Ghost has free course only when you are born of the water and spirit. If you're not born of the water and spirit, the Holy Ghost does not have free course in you. Why did I say that? Who has understanding? Who has understanding? Tell me why I said that. I'll give you a minute. Why did I say that? Who has understanding? Why did I say that? Why did I say that? Don't go outside of nothing I've said. Everything I've taught, let it be the frame that you answer in. Don't answer outside of the frame I've been speaking in. And you got it. Why is it that he is born of the water and spirit? The Holy Ghost has free course. And if you're not born of the water and spirit, the Holy Ghost does not have free course in you. Okay. If you're born of the water and spirit, what is it like? What is it like? What did Jesus tell Nicodemus is like? John 3, find it. Notice I am shifting in the way I teach you for purpose. Because there is a weakness in you. You are led away too easy in your mind. You move too easy. And the enemy has too free of access to you. Having the power of God in you like you do, and the knowledge that I've taught you, is no way he's supposed to have that kind of power and authority over your life, because I've taught you too much knowledge that's excellent. Yes, John. Yeah.
John 3, verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.
What is he telling you? If you understand that dialogue, what is he telling you? Give me understanding. Make me to know you understand what he's saying to you. What is he really saying to you? Wisdom is the principal thing, but in all that getting, that's what I'm exercising. I'm exercising that along with what I'm teaching you, because you have need of understanding. So I'm exercising it. Go ahead. What's the understanding you're supposed to come to? Read it again for him.
John 3, verse 7. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.
What's the understanding? Give me understanding. What's the understanding? Give me understanding. What's the understanding? In all that getting. In all that getting. In other words, you cannot get if you don't what? Understand. It's God that gives understanding. Didn't he tell Daniel? He told Daniel. And he gave Daniel understanding concerning the 70 weeks and all those things, right? You have to have understanding. It makes wisdom complete. Wisdom and understanding is wholeness. And they're both feminine. Understanding is feminine and wisdom is feminine. Okay. Is he saying that? Were you going to say something?
How I was understanding it was that with if we were born by water and the Spirit, we'd be like the wind, so the Holy Ghost would have free course in us.
Stop holding my answers. Put your hands together and give God praise. Say it again.
If we were born by the water and the Spirit, we'd be like the wind, so the Holy Ghost would have free course in us.
Because the Holy Ghost is like the wind. What happened in the day of Pentecost? Now, are you more conscious of being born of the flesh or born of the Spirit? Question. How does your conscience serve you this week? Are you more conscious of being flesh or are you more conscious of being Spirit? How does the Holy Ghost serve you? How did it serve you this week? Don't everybody speak at one time. That's an easy answer. It won't take you long. After what we've heard, you got an easy answer, shouldn't you? Live stream, listen, can you send a voice down here?
Well, I can say this week I was more conscious of the flesh, because when dealing with that, you're dealing with the outer. You're dealing with what's going on around you in your life. It takes really over your whole day, and we just sneak a little bit of the Lord in between the day.
That's why you need someone to follow. Because you don't have the time to empty like that. That's necessary. And yet, you can work and receive impartation as though you have labored for it. That's why the enemy don't want you to follow. Because it's impossible for you to get it and work like you work. That's impossible. That's impossible. Okay, look at Pastor's life. She worked when she was in California, right? Made it to the top. When she came here, she did not hold a secular job. I quit. Everybody can't do that. Only those that the Lord has chosen. So the scripture says we are to receive of your blessings, and you are to receive the salvation of your soul through the impartation. So we both reap, because to do what you do, I wouldn't be where I am. Does that make sense? There's no way. That is why you need to follow someone, because you got to know, I can't enter into that. When I went to school and was finishing my degree and on US-1, pastor was pastoring the church. I didn't have time to study to find out what to minister to the church. I didn't have time. Pastor and I would go in the back office. She'd give me the message, and I was just the vessel preaching it. We did that forever, because I didn't have time to do that. You don't understand that the Lord picks one to do that. He, out of all the Jacob's sons, which one is the one? Joseph. He always does that. And it makes us dependent upon what? One another. And I'll be honest with you. If anybody hear the Lord the way I hear him, I need to go to work and let you have my place. I mean, in all simplicity.
And when you said that, okay, so let me ask you a question. So we get it through impartation,
yes.
Right?
Impartation, yes.
So when we come in, and if you make a statement like, you all haven't prayed, you all haven't this, but we got a secular job that takes us, that we can't empty into prayer like you per se. So I'm to receive that prayer that you do through impartation, right?
Yes.
So therefore, then it will be as though I'm praying, right?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, but if I don't follow you, if I don't trust you in the magnitude of the of loving you to that degree, where am I at spiritually?
You can't go no further, because your doubt has stopped you. The enemy of trust is doubt. God, I'm trying to remember something. They marvel at Jesus because he did a miracle. I'm trying to trace this one. This is good tonight. Are you all enjoying like I am? They marvel at him. And I'm trying to see, was it when he cast out the devils or where? But here's the phrase. He says, wherefore did thou doubt? That's the phrase. And you got to hear this. Every human being is born 100% doubting. Ain't nothing in us that can believe God or else. Come on. There's nothing in us that can believe God. Nothing. Is the law of faith. Now the Lord want me to answer this, because I hear some spirits in the air right now. I'm going to answer these spirits right now, okay? Let me answer them. God. Okay, look, I'm going to give you understanding. Here's understanding. This is how I understand. So I hear this spirit. It's talking. It's voice. And when I say everyone was 100% full of doubt, it started talking immediately. I believe God. I kept some commandments. I did some things right. So I hear it. Now, time, a spirit can say something so fast, time can't handle it. So I hear the whole dialogue. I said, okay. You tell me that you could believe God. I said, you were filled with nothing but doubt. You say, I could keep some commandments. I want that worst kid. I did some things right. I might not did everything right, but I did some things right. But you say what you did right says you trust or you believe. Here is the understanding that the Lord wants you to answer. Because if you kept any commandment, where did it come from?
The law.
Say it again.
The law.
Everybody with her? Now, listen at this. Is the law of faith? So all the commandments you keep, do you have faith? Wait a minute, you got to really hear, because I'm about to run around this whole place. If you got that, I'm about to run around this place. You mean none of the commandments I kept said I had faith?
No.
Then what, wasn't I right? Why wasn't I right?
You were right because you kept the commandments, but you didn't have faith. Faith didn't make you keep the commandment.
What's the difference in being right and having faith?
Because faith is the substance, so that's an inner work. The law was for the body.
Keep going. Keep writing my paper. You say I'm right, but I don't have faith.
You don't.
Because you got to have a conscience to have faith. Because faith is held in your conscience. So if I'm keeping the law, the conscience wasn't purged.
I agree.
Jesus bought grace and truth, so he bought what it took. He bought faith, so that's what it took. It's held in your conscience. But if my conscience is not purged, I'm going to be doing it in and of my own strength.
Well, but I was right.
But
I was right. She told me I was right.
But the law couldn't purge your conscience.
But I'm right. Am I right?
Self-righteous.
Finally, you give me the answer.
You can say, I'm right. I'm right.
That's what happens when you understand. I can say it any kind of way. When you understand, you understand. And you can't be shaken because you understand. So now, if I keep the commandments, now you know what kind of righteousness anybody has. What is it? Why is it self-righteousness? Huh?
Because it's not of faith.
Oh, you doing it tonight? Come on. Oh, you doing it tonight? Come on here. You doing it tonight? Come on. Now, let's come down to us. How many things have you done that was by commandment and not by faith? How many things have you done by commandment? Live stream listen, please get involved. How many things have we done by commandment and it wasn't by faith? Talk to me, audience. Talk to me. Anybody. Everybody. Somebody. I'm listening.
The majority of what we do, the majority, if I'm to stay within the perimeter of what you have us tonight, a lot of things we do and we think is right, but unless we had a teacher to tell us and show us the commandment versus faith, we will not be able to move in faith because we will think we have faith. So you comes to tell us what faith is and what faith is not. So therefore we can say, okay, I did this by commandment and not by faith. Because if I did it by faith, I would have the substance of what I'm doing.
Very good. How does faith work?
By love.
Do you struggle loving anybody? 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 Anybody?
Let the church say it.
Do you struggle loving your brother and sister? Can something happen to make you not love them the way Jesus loved them? This is good tonight. I'm loving it. So, you don't love one another. You struggle with one another. Why? Why?
Because we have a self-righteous.
Ooh. So anytime I am
self-righteous,
I can't love. Because I'm going to accuse you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act. Is that an accusation? They said yes. The truth too, huh? They found it. If she's in the act, they got her. I don't know how he got away. In the act, I don't see how they got. I don't know how he escaped in the act. Does anybody understand that besides me? Because I don't know. If you're in the act, you both got caught. Is that true?
Yes.
All right, I just want to make sure. Y'all slow. No, come on, talk to me. This generation now, you're going to have to talk like this. Why are they able to judge her like that? Why?
Because of the law.
Listen at this. And the law, why? What do they want to do to her?
Stone her.
Why?
The law said so.
Tell me more.
Well, the law said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, if you caught somebody, you had to have two or three witnesses in order for it to be established.
You just gave me power to stone her. Tell me more. You just gave me power to stone her because they got the witnesses. Tell me more.
I can go and say, thou should not commit adultery.
So, you gave me power to stone her because the law said I could do it.
Yeah.
Who makes them stop?
Jesus.
How did he do that?
He showed them their unrighteousness.
How did he do that?
He said if you hadn't sinned, you'd throw the first stone. So they had to look at themselves.
What is hidden in that statement? Let's see if you can pull
mercy.
It. Yes! Oh. You hear the mercy in that? You see what the law gives you power to do is what? When you go off on your brothers and sisters, that's law in you. And it's giving you power to do it.
Is that the same thing as judgment? Like, judgment. You're judging because there was no mercy under the law, only judgment.
Yes. Now, did you read what I wanted you to read? Oh, let's read that because I want you to find something else.
Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves.
Hold it. Can you see that just for a moment? The ship is what?
Covered with the waves.
Now, come on now. And regardless of what kind of ship it could have been, I don't care if it had been, I don't care, a canoe, I don't care what it was. The fact is, it's covered with what?
Waves.
That's pretty fearful, isn't it? Covered? Go ahead.
But he was asleep.
Okay, go ahead.
And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
Read that again. Tell them where it is. Because this is now. This is what's happening to you. You are supposed to receive an impartation of faith at the hearing of this. That's the purpose of me giving you this right now, precisely. Faith supposed to hit you immediately as an impartation. Do it.
Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
Anytime you step outside of human nature, the two things you're going to do is what? What happened to them?
Disciples came and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?
Anytime you are in the midst of an experience that human nature has no answer, you're going to do two things. What are they?
Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?
Isn't the world full of experiences that human nature can't handle? And you came to church to get hope. In the midst of every human situation that human nature cannot handle, that the God of this world can send your way, and you came to church for one purpose, not to doubt and not to fear, you ought to praise Him for that. Naki nimeosha ande yaba sandeosa and niaka yetebioshiki yetekaya na sandeosa and nimeosi yaba. That's the importation of power. Power is the ability not to doubt when human nature can't answer the situation. Power is there, and it's called Holy Ghost. He even sleeps in the state of consciousness. Fear and doubt, you feel it because you are so close to your human nature and far from your divine nature. Your knowledge says I can't do nothing with water that's over my ship. I can't do nothing with a situation that's swallowing up my body. When a situation comes and it takes my body, I can't do nothing with it. It's like that wave that's taking over the ship. And yet, who's in the ship? Who's in you? Who's in you? By the which makes up the you mean the whole Godhead is in you, and the enemy or anybody in this world can send something over you and you doubt with that much in you? Now what did he say? What did he tell them?
Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?
How can you have that little faith and I am in the ship with you? But yet, what you see is greater than me being in the ship with you. So much so, you just call me, you say the right thing, but you don't believe it. Now, come on, they saying the right thing. Wherefore, Lord, you care that we perish? They wake him up, but they ain't expecting nothing. How do you know? Listen closely. Listen closely.
Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
If they would have believed that he could calm the winds, would they have said that? Nobody would have said that if they believed that he could have done what? They weren't expecting that. You got a situation that human nature can't answer. Well, don't look for a human answer. Stop looking for a human answer in a situation that human nature cannot answer. They got a storm. And they are fearful and they are doubting. How many times something goes on in you, in your own body, that make you shake and doubt? And you are so unconscious of the Spirit of God in you. The Holy Ghost is not a Trinity. You are just unconscious of your baptism of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You don't understand what that means. That much is given to you, and you got little faith. How do you have little faith and Jesus is in the ship with you? And listen, wait a minute. Haven't they seen him do some miracles? They done seen him do some stuff, right? But they, I don't know if he can do this. You know how we do it. We believe he can do, you know, he can give me a few hundred dollars, but he can't give me a million. I'm going to have to play the lottery for that. Oh. Do you see how little faith we have? And then struggle with, and that's the only way it can come. Talk to me. Talk to me. You got the floor. That was very good. Put your hands together and praise God. That was good. Anybody, everybody, somebody. Yes. Behind you, Elder.
So in connecting where you were at the beginning with the wind bloweth where it listeth, I'm gonna read what I wrote as I was, because I may say it wrong.
Let's hear it.
You should receive the impartation of faith after hearing this. Don't be fearful or doubt. Exercise faith. You must let the Holy Ghost flow freely through you to keep you from moving with fear, doubt, and unbelief. You can't do anything with all the hard issues in this life. You must have the Holy Ghost who can go anywhere at any time and help you with all things, so you can exercise faith in Jesus and have no fear or doubt God's guidance, power, and love.
I love that. How are you going to exercise that?
Trusting, being still, and hearing.
You mean just storing it in my intellect? Ain't that enough?
No. I can't think. I can't.
Oh.
My thinking will mess me up.
So how is that going to come alive in you if you're not allowed to think?
Good question.
How is that going to come alive in her if she's not allowed to think? Yeah. By the Spirit, right? So you are to receive the what? Listen. Come on. Women, come on, women. Okay. Women in the world, okay. Whenever you deal with a man in the world, does his spirit get on you?
Yeah, it does.
You sure?
Yes. Oh, amen. Yes, sir.
Then why is it, and his spirit is on you, and it's obvious. You wear it. But when it comes to the Lord, why isn't the Holy Ghost on you like that? Why? Because you can't tell me you don't know how. Can't. It ain't no different than the way you let him, his spirit get on you.
From my experiences, when you're dealing with a man,
go ahead.
You don't even think about it's a spirit.
Go ahead.
You're looking at the vessel. You're looking at the how he makes you feel and all this other stuff. Now, when it comes to God, the church, Jesus, it's kind of hard because if we didn't see the spirit in the man in the world, we just thinking it's him. Jesus is not physically in front of us, because if he was, then we'll receive him the same way we received the man. So therefore, by him being a spirit, it's kind of hard to let him in, even though we let the man in, but we didn't look at it as a spirit.
Okay, well, help me with what she just read. He's in that ship.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you a woman's perspective. Mary is a virgin.
Uh-huh.
An angel is talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
She don't know how it's going to be. But the angel explains. And she receives a what?
Impartation.
Yeah. She's going to receive an impartation. He's in that ship. And they fear and doubt, and he's in the ship. Because, I'm glad you brought that up. Why do you still fear and doubt? If I would tell all of you, if Jesus stood right there, you were still doubting. Now I done shook the whole house. If he was in that ship and they still what?
Doubt.
And fear. And he's there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even believe he's going to get up in 3 days. And they done seen this man walk on water, feed the multitude. They done seen, what is it about human nature that God wants you to understand that it always bites you? It's not a time in your life while you are breathing on this earth. As long as you're walking on this earth, 1/3 of the God of this world gonna always press against the Spirit of God in you. I'm listening.
Well, I think that's the answer. The God of this world, he makes sure his presence,
And you put clothes on it,
mm-hmm.
because man's problem is objects. It's objects. He got to have something he can touch, feel.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want to sit and mystically do this stuff. Uh-uh. What's in his imagination, he finds a body that can house his imagination. Objects. Man gotta have an object. That's why he's an idolater. He's gotta have an object. And if he's got to have an object and he gets on you, what you going to want?
An object.
Now who you going to struggle believing now? Jesus, because he's not an object. Is it true that the spirit that moves everyone's body,
mm-hmm.
is really what's controlling,
mm-hmm.
the situation?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
So can I blame the body?
No.
Even though I'm looking at it,
right.
Is that what's talking to me?
No.
Can I go out here tonight and receive the impartation that if I hear and my eyes is still looking at the body, that ain't what's talking to me. At some point, I got to deny what I see so I can hear what's talking to me. That's it. You have not come against your eyesight. Because lust makes you love objects. The biggest problem you struggle with lust is the object it put in front of you. It can put an object in front of you in a dream state and you'll take it. It just, I don't care what realm, if an object show up, it's going to take you because that's where your conscience is. You got an object. You want an object. I just need an object. Yes. This is good. She has a mic.
Thank you. So if they're waking Jesus up, what would Jesus have expected them to do? What should we, if we're on that ship, I'm sure everybody has been on that ship and said, well, if it was me, I'm going to exercise faith. I'm going to make Jesus proud. What really would exercising faith in that moment, I'm sure Jesus would have loved to have seen them say, peace be still, my Lord is sleeping.
You just answered it for me. You just took it out the box. He would have loved for you to just let him keep sleeping. And you spoke and said, peace be still.
So it's not, exercising faith is not just saying, well, if he ain't getting up, I ain't getting up.
There you go. There it is. There it is. But how long has he been with him? He's been with him for a while. They done seen some things. Why haven't they received that impartation? Because they haven't heard who? Who? Who is it they haven't heard? Him, right? But they've been hearing somebody. Or else the what wouldn't have been there? Fear and doubt. The reason fear and doubt is in you is because of who you've been hearing. You cannot doubt hearing truth. You cannot fear hearing truth. So if fear and doubt comes to you, you have to examine who you've been hearing and who has trained your ear to hear like that. That was very good. Is everybody? I want everybody to make sure that everybody understands that so we don't run over top of that. I really want you to hear that. That was powerful. Yes.
So when we are dealing with things, you talked about how we deal with the body.
Yes.
And things that happen in our body.
Yes.
So it there, and I think you talked about this several years ago, if our foot is hurting or something is ailing us in our body, I'm not going to ignore it.
Right.
I'm going to attend to it because I see it and I feel it.
Yes.
But if I'm going to exercise faith, I have some choices. I can call the doctor.
Go ahead.
Believing that.
Yes.
He can help me.
Yes.
My first response in faith is, God, I'm going to be still and I'm going to pray. I'm going to see what you have me to do about this ailment.
Right.
That's a question.
I believe you. The reason, thus says the Lord, that we started going to the doctor is because we never understood where healing took place. We spent all our lives wanting him to heal the vessel. And for 2,000 years, what has he done? I bet everybody in here got some kind of testimony that he did something in their body. Is that true or not?
Yes.
And for 2,000 years, he's been doing it. Not to say he won't do it again, but he's been doing it. But what does the scripture say? If God permitted, we'll do this for how long? Because we'll never come into the third day. Perfection. Now, this is what Jesus, he's so sweet. I love him. Okay. Let's take a heart condition. Okay? like a heart condition. Okay, heart condition in the body. Doctors have knowledge. They can do things, right? Put a pacemaker in, do some things, heart, right? And of course, you get to keep living, right? The Lord wants to say you still haven't addressed your issue. Because your real heart condition is stony and you haven't believed me. Now that's what he wants me to tell you tonight. So you go and deal with the vessel and still got a heart condition. And you say, I did it. The Lord healed me. I got through it good. You are saying the right thing, but your conscience is surely in the wrong place. The Lord did it, yeah, when he circumcised your heart in the new covenant. And the Holy Ghost, the love of God, is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Why aren't we conscious of love flowing through our heart? Because we make it stony. Namaku teba katiyota inia satatia halayakia nayosokoya. It's impossible for you to be conscious of your heart in Christ Jesus and see it healthy and whole and loving, and your body's heart won't be healthy. That's impossible. But we take care of the lesser. And the new covenant says, where are we supposed to walk? Where are we supposed to walk in the new covenant? How are we to walk?
By faith.
Keep going. Tell me something else.
We're to walk in, yeah, in our conscience. We walk in faith.
Tell me more. You can keep going. Give me a lot of examples. Come on. Well, how else are we to walk? Walk in our conscience. Walk by faith.
Walk circumspectly.
Walk circumspectly. Keep going. There's a whole lot of them.
When you see the light, you walk.
Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Are we supposed to walk in the spirit? All that is just what? Walking. I ain't gonna fuss at any of them, but I don't want you to be so personal with your little understanding, because you had to talk to somebody who don't think the way you think. You cannot be a great teacher only teaching the way you understand. You're a poor teacher. Do you know that? You know what makes a great teacher? They can teach someone that do not understand the way they do, and yet God gives them the way to minister to those that don't see it the way they see it. That requires something. That requires something. We struggle with one another because we tell them the way who understands. And they not like you. And if they're not like you, they ain't gonna get it. So now you gotta say it, Lord. See, I ask the Lord a lot, Lord, help me, because I don't know how to talk to him. I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that because it's the absolute truth. I do not know how to talk to you. And you would think, with all you know, you don't. I don't. And that's what you gotta understand. You gotta know how that you might receive this. So, if I walk in the spirit, my conscience is what helped me walk in the spirit. Now, either you're going to walk in the flesh, and we're back at John. It was another scripture I was going to tell you to find. I don't even know what it was. I think I left it. I should have probably told you when I heard it. But let's go to John. Maybe the Lord will bring it back around again. Go back to the gospel of Nicodemus and John, the third chapter. And let's look at this one more time, because this is tying into what she was saying. That was great. Okay, let's go back to the third chapter again. The gospel.
John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Now hold it. Now listen. Pastor is the first one that pricked my conscience. Do you know I'm constantly pricking your conscience every time I drop a precept or concept? I'm constantly pricking your conscience, pricking your conscience. Now, here's my problem. After I prick your conscience, I want to know, do you hold it? And then I come back later and you don't remember because you couldn't hold on to the pricking because something else took it away from you. That's why you got to gaze on it. That's why you got to meditate on it. Think on whatsoever is lovely, a good report, virtue, or praise. Think on these things. You have to hold it and turn it on until it becomes alive in you. There is so many prickings that take place when I minister the gospel. It's like nobody should go out of here whose conscience hasn't been pricked in some measure or another. It's just that powerful. The key is, are you going to what? Hold it. The beauty of preaching the gospel is to prick someone's conscience. You can't make them walk in it. But you're supposed to have the wisdom and understanding of how to prick their conscience. Once you prick their conscience, it's over. Now, can I give an example? Here's an example. They are ready to stone. Notice how we're dealing with the framework tonight. We're still hanging within the framework of what we started at 7, at 6, right? Everything's being turned over in this framework. That's all I need. This is the sample of the population of the gospel, if you understand that terminology. It's just a sample. The sample is testifying to the whole. Right? So everything tonight is testifying to the whole. When you pick the spirit of it out of the sample, you can read anything and reveal that spirit back when you minister to anybody, because you pull the spirit out of the sample population. That's what I do every time we come together. It's this sample that I give you, and we pull out of it, and we pull out of it, and the more we turn it over, the impartation, the travail. Do you know I'm travailing with you on nights like this? This is travail. And I got to deal with the flesh, because the flesh don't want you to bring forth. So it wars and make the travail hard and painful and long. That's what makes it hard and long. You cannot see. I want you to say that one again. Pastor, this one, Pastor talked years ago. I caught it when she said it. Listen at it.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Stop right there. You mean, now everybody knows the kingdom is where? You mean he told you where it was and you still can't see it? Why can't you see it?
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So nobody in the world can see the kingdom of God. Even if you tell them where it is, they still can't what? Now, you know what that's like? That's so breathtaking. Now, what is the flesh going to try to do? What the flesh going to try to do? Huh? Going to try to see it anyway. So we got all these philosophers and all this knowledge and all these religious things trying to enter where? In the kingdom. And the only way you can enter, you got to be what? So all these people that are preaching the kingdom of God and ain't born again. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Love, joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So if you ain't walking in that, help me. Where are you? In the world. Can I get you to understand something? I think it's crucial right about now. Love isn't about you. God is love. God is love. You love because you want to be like God.
Amen.
Do I need to say that again?
Yes.
We love because we want to be like God. We have no other motive for loving. Because no one else knows what love is but God. And He lets us feel His love how? By the Holy Ghost. For the love of God is shed abroad in what? How? So somewhere deep down in your heart gate, beneath all those seven things that made it filthy and unclean and unfaithful and ungrateful, deep down beneath all of that, a circumcision took place in your heart so that the Holy Ghost could feed you what God is. And then you don't love to get anything. You love because you are.
Yeah.
You can't help anybody be complete that knows how to love, because they are already. That's the beauty of love. It can't think evil. It believes. So if you pull a commandment from tonight, can you believe all things?
No.
What's present?
Law.
Law. And whose righteousness?
That's righteous.
And you're going to doubt and you're going to fear. And you will never say your doubt and fear is coming because you are not walking by faith. It's impossible to doubt if you walk by faith. Which is greater, the inner man or the outer?
Inner.
Supposed to be, huh?
Yeah.
Have you witnessed that? We notice greater is He where?
In us.
In that example she read, that storm over the ship, He's in the ship with them. Is He greater than what's in them?
No.
Let's talk about that. Read that, refresh us again. Oh, you and gospel. We did this. I got her going back through all of this stuff. We turned it over. This is what happens a lot of times. Have you ever studied something and it just didn't click for you? And you put it down and did something else. And then you went back to it again. This is what I do a lot of times. I just go as far as I can, which it ain't clicking no more. So let's talk about something else. And then after a few minutes, we'll just go back and see if something has happened to you in that space. I don't tell you I do that. You just say, wow, we just talked about it a few minutes ago, but we left it that we might return. A lot of times when the Lord taught me many things, I always knew whatever He taught me had not been exhausted. Now, if you think what you hear has exhausted what you heard, no. That's all you can have right now. 12 baskets going to be taken up from your meal because you can't eat no more. You already full. You're going to be excited. You think you got it. But if somebody got 12 baskets to what you just finished rejoicing over, waiting for you to come back for what they holding, but you say what? I got it. And you never do what? Go back. He had to teach me that. It always comes back and unveil again and unveil to the seventh time. That's perfection. There is no more unveiling. That's when the Spirit is perfect in you. That's the patience of the Lord to keep doing it. Because you can't take it at one time. You got to understand the growth. Grow in grace. That's what happens. Come on. My daughter Sarah, she did 3 degrees in a short time. I said, now wait a minute now, three in a short time. I said, now come on, three in a short time. But you know what? Look, she's got to move in three places. And ain't neither one of them behind. They're all there, flourishing. You got to let the gospel do that to you. But what if you get real rigid, like them Pharisees and scribes, and Jesus trying to take you somewhere, and I got it. You know how you say, I got it. Don't want nobody to help you. I got it. And you don't have it. Because anybody that's got it won't even say, I got it. You don't believe that, do you? Because they don't have to say it. Because they got it. I mean, the way the Lord teaches us is quite different. When the Lord finished teaching you, you're not arrogant. You're not boastful and you're not proud. No, none of that can be when the Lord teaches you. That's a humility about you. That's a subjection about you. You know the measure of gospel that the Lord has given me. Somebody could walk up to me that don't even know me. They would have no idea of the magnitude of the gospel I know. And you could be standing there like, they have no idea. Because I don't carry myself like that. Because the gospel does not allow it. There's a humility that comes with the gospel when the Lord teaches you. Now when you teach you, of course, when you teach you, yeah, you see it. Is that making sense? Where do I have you?
Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
How many times have you come to the conclusion that you were going to perish, and the Holy Ghost is in you? How did you do that? Fear and doubt. And you have not the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost can only work when you are conscious of the Spirit of truth. Now, what you got to know is, now you understand why the Holy Ghost is where. Where is it? In your conscience. Because your conscience is the only thing that can hold the Spirit of truth. Nothing else can. So what? Lord, anybody was wondering whether or not anything was going to happen today? Anybody go into next week? Next month? 6 months from now?
Next year?
Ain't nobody staying home, everybody going into the future? Or somebody looking at the past? Am I ever going to get out of this? When is this going to be over? That's what humans do. Do you know you can spend a lifetime doing that? I told you. The enemy beat me up bad. Fear. And it usually gets strong when you don't have a devotion. I just thought I'd tell you. If you don't have a devotion in your life, it's going to be real strong for you. because he gets to talk all the time. The only way that I got the victory after he gave me a fit. Now, he wore me out. I was full of fear. Now, I ain't talking about when I was a kid. I am talking about not too long. I mean, I lost count of the years. But let me tell you how God gave me the victory. Stand up. Let me use you. This is me. I'm caught in the fear. Go down there about where Minister Sarah is. The Lord took me in the spirit realm all the way down. Stop right there. And I saw the end of my life. That was the day that fear left me. And I said, it will never happen to me. He took me in the spirit, in my conscience, to the end of my life, of the very thing that the enemy was tormenting me with, and brought it back, and I saw it. And since that day, oh no, he don't talk to me. He don't. Thank you. He don't talk to me. You got to understand how the Lord deals with your fears. We are no match for what has happened to us. Will we come to the grip that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity? We can't fix what we are. We can't fix the way we came into the world. The Lord is our deliverer. He's the only one that can bring us out. It's no other way. The gospel. I've got confidence in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. Mm-mm. No, it works. Mm-mm. The gospel works. I know it works. I don't mean no harm. I mean, when I hit those little spaces, didn't have to eat that much, and told you I didn't have to no more drink. I'll tell you about the rest of that stuff. When something else happened about it, you're gonna love it. The last, because I got a CDL, and I had to get a physical, and they had making me get one every year because that blood pressure was something. This last one I went to, I had lost so much weight from that, from eating like that. That lady said, I'm going to give you 2 years. They don't usually drop you down to one and take you back to two. I just thought I'd tell you, you can't give God your spirit like that and it don't clothe your body and make your body respond. The spirit has power over clay. Clay don't have power over the spirit. And the spirit that's on your clay is not what you think it is. You can't think evil and think your body is not going to experience it. You're going to pay. Come on, you get upset. What happens in your body? Come on, just give me some signs. You don't have to be a doctor. Just tell me what started happening. Huh? You get hot? What else? Heart beating fast? Blood pressure going to the sky? All that is because you have been so disturbed that your body is affected by it. Some people just... Now that's too much. That's too much. You see, the body is nothing but a vessel. You need some of these spirits. You don't need to. You need to get them out your house.
Amen.
Cause they can shut your organs down. They can shut them down. Because the body without the spirit is dead. So you want to know what spirit is messing with your organs, especially your heart. Men's heart failing them for what? So all this stuff that be happening in your heart, what could possibly be the root of it? Fear. And you want the Lord to take care of it. And all he told you was, don't doubt. Don't fear. Believe me. Listen, I believe your spirit, your soul, and your body, your instruments, mentally, emotionally, your heart, your senses, your appetite, is all connected. Everything that makes you a human being is connected. The question is, when are you going to be born again and become a divine being, and your nature is a partaker of His nature? Then your body can go from glory to glory, and mortality can put on immortality. And Pastor Deborah, you can be transformed if you renew the spirit of your mind. How merciful have you been? How merciful this week have you been? This week?
Yes, I think I've been very merciful this week.
Even if the enemy brought an accusation to you of someone, you said what? What did you say?
I don't remember getting one this week.
Oh, he hasn't visited you this week?
Not an accusation against anyone.
Oh. Enemy have, has the enemy ever had an accusation against you?
Oh.
You heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you somebody?
Am I somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No. You mean the enemy hasn't had an accusation against you this week?
Oh, yeah, against me.
Well, why did you get to be nobody? You. Now I want to use that. It's all right if I do it. I ain't hurt nobody else. I'm just doing it to who? That's the biggest lie you ever told, and the biggest lie that ever told the devil ever told you. Did Adam and the woman do it? Did it affect just Adam and the woman?
No.
Are you sure? No.
Yes,
yes it did.
Yes.
Come on. Yes, it did. Come on. So how is it that you do something and you say, I ain't bothering nobody, I'm just doing it to myself? You're lying. You loosen something in the lineage, in your spirit, that somebody else gonna have the same problem you have, and they're gonna take it to the next level. If an alcoholic die, being an alcoholic, I just did it to myself, I only got drunk, I ain't bothering nobody else. Now here comes a kid in the lineage, drinks a whole six pack and still ain't drunk. And ain't never been drunk, but one never been drunk in their life. Where is it coming from? Because somebody else left it on a level waiting for you to take it to the next. Don't you think for a moment what you do ain't affecting nobody. You don't know who's coming down through the lineage after you. Or else Adam and Eve would have been the only one that were born in sin, except in iniquity, and we could have stayed in the garden. Well, we killed that beast. You ought to praise God for that one. We killed that one. Yeah, we killed that beast.